Good to see everybody. Good to have John back with us this morning. He had all of Orlando Hecatite for a while, he said. Excuse me. Was talking about last week, the title was Spirit Led. I'm going to change it this morning to Relationship and Spirit Led. How many knows in Timothy the Bible talks about how there's doctrines of demons and different things like that in the last days that there would be? And sometimes those are not exactly what you might think they are. One that God has really been dealing with me about, I guess probably 3 weeks, maybe something like that. And it is just picking out scriptures and saying them and quoting them and thinking that's where it is. How many knows the Bible says that head knowledge without the love of God, it puffs up? How many knows the devil can quote scripture? I mean, he quoted scripture to the word himself, you know. I mean, he was there when it was written and all of that. So there's nothing that we don't know, you know, that he don't already know or whatever. He even quoted it to Jesus himself. But how many knows he did it out of context? And so what we're going to be talking about today is relationship and being led by the Spirit of God. We talked about several ways last week that he leads. Now, the Bible talks about in Romans 8:14, it says that the sons of God are supposed to be led by the Spirit of God, right? The word led, when you look it up, it means to be open to. Not necessarily you're just following him, but you're open to him. And what that means is kind of like, and you train yourself. Because how many knows that Jesus said, I never say anything unless I hear my Father say it. I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it. Well, we know that he was baptized in the Holy Ghost, right? The Holy Ghost came on him, and then miracles and different things like that, and his ministry started. And whenever he said something, things would happen. So when did he hear it, and when did he see it? At the time he needed it, right? Y'all come on now. Do we need to pray? Gosh, y'all can't even answer me if we need to pray or not. Maybe we really do need to pray. Help us, Lord. Because after you get born again, one of the greatest things that you can do is learn how to be led by the Holy Spirit. Absolutely. Now, we need the written word. Listen, I'm not saying it's either or. We need all of it. We need the written word of God. I mean, there's times that I read my Bible, and it's like I have been to the steakhouse. Y'all know what I'm talking about? There's times I read my Bible, and it's like I stand up, and I'm like, gosh, I feel like a foot taller. I mean, it's because the Bible says that the Word of God, that desire it, that we may grow thereby. The Word of God is food to our spirit man or whatever. But how many knows it's not just in the written Word of God, which is Logos, but it's also in what's called the Rhema. The Rhema is kind of like I told you, Scotty was reading the Bible one day, and he was over there in Timothy, and he had got to that part where Paul told Timothy, he said, do the work of an evangelist. And when Scotty read that part of do the work of an evangelist, the Holy Spirit quickened him. That word came alive to him, and he knew that word was to him. Go do the work of an evangelist. How many knows me and you could read that, and it's just, it don't stick out to us, don't mean anything. Why? Because that word became Rhema. That's what the Holy Spirit was saying to him at the time. So let's look at some things here. Get my glasses on. 2 Timothy chapter 3 right quick. Now we ran over this one last week, but we're going to do it again this morning. Glory to God. He's good, amen? All the time. So, so good. According to Scripture, there's but no badness in him, right? No darkness, no shadow of turning. He can't cast a shadow because he is the light. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'm going to read this in the King James, verse 16. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, or you call it mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, we read that scripture last week, or I quoted it or whatever, but how many knows, y'all remember, we also went over to Ecclesiastes, and we read over there in Ecclesiastes, there's a time for everything, right? There's a time for war. There's a time for peace. There's a time to plant. There's a time to pluck up. There's a time to live. There's a time to die. There's a time for everything. The Bible also says in another place, I believe it's in Proverbs, it says a word is good in its season, right? In its season. So even though this says this, there's 66 books in this Bible, and I don't know how many words. or even how many verses in the whole Bible. How many knows every one of them is not to you at all times? There are certain times that certain words are to you. There's certain times that certain words is not to you. There's sometimes that certain words is to certain people and not to other people, right? We need to know the when we're in our time and in our season. Let's look at, let's see where I want to go here. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to forget about everything that we had before we walked in the door, amen? Well, I have a roast cooking, forget about it. You should have not have done it. Somebody knows we're only here for just a few hours. We're out there for however long we're out there. When we come in here, we should come in here with our hearts and our minds. Lord, I'm coming in here, kind of like y'all have heard the story that Scotty said when he got to Faith Restoration one time because he was going through a lot. And the Holy Spirit told him, he said, so he could see in his spirit like he had on insulated coveralls. How many knows if you got on insulated coveralls, you're not going to feel what's in the room? If you got on insulated coveralls, so to speak, you got problems, you got things going on, you got things you need answers to, yada, yada, whatever the case might be. When we come in here, all of that stays out there. It'll still be waiting on you when you get back. But when we come in here, it's for Him and for each other, right? We want to hear from Him. Why? He is the great I am. He is everything that we could possibly ever even need. He's the one that we need to hear from. I've been praying the Holy Spirit speak to them things I don't even say. He can do that. I mean, I've been in services where Scotty or whoever the minister at the time is says something, you know, and it's like the Holy Spirit takes me off on something else. I didn't even hear what Scotty said, but I heard what the Holy Spirit said, because He'll speak to all of us because He knows what we need. Amen. But we got to be looking to Him. And the Bible talks about how in the book of Acts, when they came together in one heart, one mind, one spirit, one accord, right? That's how we have to come. So let's look here at Ephesians chapter, what I tell you, 6. All right, now from verse 10 on, he's actually talking about warfare is what he's talking about. Verse 10, he starts talking about how be strong in the Lord, not strong in you, right? Not strong in how much scripture you can quote. Jesus even told the Pharisees, he said, you search the scriptures for you think in them you find life or have life. He said, but it's found in me. See, you can be searching the scriptures because you think the scriptures is your answer, but how many know the Holy Spirit is the one that has your answer? Now, it's going to be in line with the scripture always, at all times. But yet at the same time, it's not just in the written scriptures. It's in whatever the Holy Spirit says to you. So he's talking about in verse 10, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Then he goes on and he starts talking about demons and tricks and wiles and traps and snares of the devil. Then he goes on and he talks about the full armor of God, right? He says to put it on. And here in verse 17 in the Amplified, he says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword that the Spirit wills. King James says sword of the Spirit. Amplified says, sword that the Spirit wills, which is the Word of God. Now, I've got a couple of different translations on that. The New English Bible says, take salvation for helmet. For sword, take that which the Spirit gives you, the words that come from God. The Jerusalem Bible says, and then you must accept salvation from God to be your helmet and receive the Word of God from the Spirit to use as a sword. See, it's not any word that I want to pick out. It said it's the sword that the Spirit wills. What's that mean? The one that He gives you at the time that you need it. In this chapter here, he's talking about spiritual warfare, right? Because he's talking about having on the whole armor of God and don't be tricked by the traps and the snares of the devil. I'm going to give you a little example. It's probably been, I don't know, 2-3 months, somewhere around in there. Anyway, somebody had... wasn't doing what they said they would do, was supposed to do to some of my family members or whatever, and then they had done something to Scotty. And then, how many knows if the devil can't get to you, a lot of times he'll use those that are close to you that you love. Don't fall for that one either. God can take care of them. They don't need you to take care of them. But anyway, this has started happening to me. I'd started being tormented. Just started off a little bit, you know, having thoughts about this person. oh, they're so-and-so, and they're not doing so Travis right, and they're not doing Scotty right, therefore to fix me. Y'all know how this goes, don't you? Y'all been there before? If you hadn't, you will be. Devil don't discriminate. But anyway, I start having these thoughts. Well, I know what the Word says, and I'm a doer of the Word. So these thoughts starts coming to me, you know, and I recognize them, and I start casting them down. Every time I would have one of those thoughts, I'd start saying out of my mouth, you know. I mean, after this is going on for a little while, and I said, I don't even care, devil. They're none of my business. Means nothing to me. And then I would quote a scripture, or I would pray for them, right? The Bible says pray for them, you know, who despitefully use you and do you wrong and all this other. So I'm doing my best to do the Word. Well, then the Bible, this is going on for, I don't know, probably a month at the time. And it's just getting worse and worse and worse. And, I mean, I'm having to cast these thoughts down. I mean, they would be times it would be so bad. I'm in the shower getting ready to come to church to do my lesson here at Sunday school. And these thoughts about this person and then this other person with them just coming and coming and coming. I'm in the shower, and, I mean, you can just hear me. I'm praying for them. I'm blessing them. You know, God bless them. And I'm praying for them. And I'm casting down the thought. I'm doing the Word, but nothing's working. And sometimes it takes a little while. But nothing's working, seems like. Well, then I also know the scripture. The Bible says overcome evil with good, right? We do that one too. We do all of what the Word says. So something had come up, and I know I'm going to see this person. I thought, okay, God. I mean, this has went on for probably a month, nearly. And I thought, okay, I know what I'm going to do. I've cast down the thoughts. I've prayed for them. I've blessed them and everything. Your Word says overcome evil with good. And I know I'm fixing to have to be in the same room with them. Something's come up that I have to be or whatever. So I thought, okay, I'm going to overcome evil with good. I'm just going to give them $100. Y'all have heard our testimony about that. Bake them a cake, take them some squash, give them $100, whatever that you feel at the time. And I thought, okay, that's what I'm going to do. But when I thought that, how many knows the Holy Ghost lives in here and He bears witness? Remember we talked about that one last week? There's two of you lives on the inside of you if you've been born again. You and Him. So I don't even have to sometimes say things. Why? He knows my every thought. He's in here. So I had that thought. I thought, okay, I'm going to give this person $100. But when I had the thought instantly in here, it was like, don't do that. No. And I thought, no. And I thought, well, I'm going to do it anyway. And then I thought, you could just lose your $100. It's not going to do it. So I thought, okay, overcome evil with good. I mean, I was going to do it. But okay, if you're telling me no, I won't do it. So anyway, I go on and I see that person, you know, I shake their hand, tell them, Lord bless you, yada, yada, whatever. This stuff still keeps going on. I'm laying there on the couch one night and I'm trying to go to sleep, and these thoughts are still coming. I'm still doing everything I'm supposed to do. Nothing's changing or whatever. And all of a sudden, I hear the Holy Spirit. Not in my ears, in here. He talks to you on the inside. And I hear Him and He says, why don't you just forgive them? And it was like a light went off. It went, ping. And I thought, hey, I hadn't thought of that. See how dumb you are. See how dumb I am without Him. I'm doing everything that I'm thinking of in my mind and knowing what the Word says. And I'm trying to be like James says, don't be a hearer, but I'm trying to do that. I am doing the Word. I'm casting down the thoughts. I'm willing to give them my $100. I'm praying for them. But none of this is working. And when I heard Him say, why don't you forgive them? I never thought of that. And for a second, I didn't want to. But see, I don't know if I hadn't thought of it because it wasn't directly to me or whatever, but it just hadn't even crossed my mind to do that. So I'm sitting there, or laying there, you know, and I think on it for a minute. So I said, okay, God, okay, by an act of my will, Lord, I forgive them right now. I want you to know from that day till today, that has not been a problem to me again. Now, why do I tell you that? Because He says, the sword of the Spirit that the Spirit wields. Do you get what I'm saying? You can pick out a word, and not just any word is going to work. Now, I'm not talking about those that are promises, your promises for healing and different things. Even Jesus Himself, people wasn't healed exactly the same way in His ministry all the time. Right? I mean, there was people that the Bible says their faith made them whole. He didn't even know nothing about the woman with the issue of blood. She had heard, put her trust and confidence in what she had heard about Him, went to Him, bam, touched Him, she got healed, right? Well, then there was times, y'all remember the guy that Jesus spit in the mud and made some clay and put it on his eyes and told him, go wash? Well, He did not do that, Johnny, to the 10 lepers. He spoke to them and he said, go, show yourself to the priest, right? Why would he do that differently? Why didn't he just throw mud in everybody's eyes? Why didn't he just tell everybody, just go show yourself? Because he's led by the Spirit. Why? It is the Spirit is the one that is the power and does the work. You remember Jesus himself? He said, it's the Father in me that does the works, not me. Why? He stripped himself of being the Son of God, right? And came in the form of a man, baptized in the Holy Ghost and being led by him. Why? If he had done anything that we could not do or had access to anything that we did not have access to, then when we're judged, well, he's not judging us righteously, right? We have to do just exactly as he did. He had to do it just exactly as the way we're required to do it. So whenever he tells them, go show yourself to the priest, the Holy Ghost evidently told him on the inside of him, go show yourself to the priest. How do I know that? Bam, they was healed, right? And one, the Bible says, returned to give him thanks. Well, just like when he made the mud. I mean, you can make mud, Johnny, all day long and put it on. That makes me think of the guy you told the story about that I think you had went to the bathroom and prayed for the guy at work or something. Am I telling this right? And Johnny went and prayed. He felt to pray for him, so he went and prayed for him and everything and still kept feeling it, right? Pray for him or hearing it, whatever you was getting or whatever. And he's like, well, Lord, I did. Yeah. But then he says what? Go put your hands on him and pray for him. Did anything change until you went and laid your hands on him? Why? That's what he said for you to do, right? Well, bam, far as best I remember the story, the guy was healed, right? Didn't have the problem anymore. Why? It's in whatever he leads you to do. It's not just in the written Logos word. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? Because, see, it's in my relationship with him. It's in my hearing him, my intimate closeness with him. See, you've got sinners that they know the Bible. You got people that they're not even born again. I heard about a pastor and his wife, pastored the church for 30 years and wasn't even born again. Went to a Holy Ghost-filled meeting and found out, hey, we're not born again, and got saved. Pastored a church for 30 years. I don't know how in the world you do that. It's hard for me being born again, filled with the Holy Ghost at different times. I got to hear from him. Every one of us need to hear from him because it's whatever he tells us is what's going to work. Like I said, I was doing all of the word that I know to do, right? But whenever I use the word that the Spirit said, that's the only one that works. And from that time until today, yeah, sure, something has crossed my mind about him. But I'm telling you, I was being tormented to where this stuff was trying to get into my heart and affect my heart and make me have bad feelings toward these people and different things like that. And we don't want none of that. Now, look at, let's see here, Romans 8. Just for time's sake, I'm going to start in verse 25, and I'm going to read this in the Amplified. Now, verse 28 is one of Scotty's favorite verses and some others. Nothing wrong with having your favorite verses. And listen to me, I'm not saying you can't have faith in God based on his word, because we do. Just like I brought up last week, Isaiah 53, 1 Peter 2, 24. But at the same time, it's not just in me knowing and can quote and saying those verses. Sometimes he may tell you something to do. Just like we're going to see something here in Romans 8, 28 that maybe you've never saw before or hadn't thought about. But in verse 25 in the Amplified, he says, but if we hope for what is still unseen by us, we wait for it with patience and composure. He says, so too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness. For we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthy as we ought. Now, I believe the word more than I do me. I might think I know how to pray. I've been praying for a long time. But who knows? The word is true. There's times that I have thought, I mean, when I'm really being very ugly in the flesh or whatever, I've thought, I need to fast. And so I was going to fast. And all of a sudden, on the inside, I heard the Lord. He said, you need to yield to love is what you need to do. How many knows I could fast till my eyeballs fall off or my britches fall off and nothing changed? if I'm not going to yield to the Spirit of God, to the love of God that is on the inside of me. Amen? So he goes on here. He says, we don't even know how to pray as we ought to, or even how to offer up certain prayer. He says, but the Spirit himself. Now, the King James says itself. I do not like that translation. The Holy Spirit is not an it. He's a him. He's the third part of the Trinity, right? We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It says, but the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. And he who searches the hearts of men knows what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit. What his intent is, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints according to and in harmony with God's will. Now we get Romans 8:28. We are assured and know that God, being a partner in their labor. Do you get it? We're working together. It's not just me running off and doing whatever I want to, and God's going to work it all to my good. I say, y'all ever see people do that? They live any way that they want to. They go wherever they want to. They do wherever they want to. And they want to slap Romans 8:28 on that, and it does not work. It says that us being a partner in labor with him, all things work together and are fitting into a plan. It's not just working together for my good. It's working together for my good because it fits into God's plan, right? Not my plan. Listen, we wasn't made for him. I mean, we was made for him. He wasn't made for us. He goes on and he says, for good to and for those who love God and are called according to his design and his purpose. You know, I mean, I've heard people say things, you know, like, why did God let that happen, you know, or this, that, and another, you know, or something like that. Sometimes things happen because you're stupid, or I'm stupid, or I'm dumb, or I made the bad choice, whatever you want to call it. Everything, listen, the Bible says in James, all good things comes from above, right? All good gifts comes from the Lord. Even bad things, God can turn it around and bring some good out of it. Just like what happened to me about my son Judah and all of that. I mean, I got really upset with God. God even told me, Travis was about 16 years old when I got pregnant. Now I had wanted another baby for the whole time. I had had a miscarriage when he was 8 months old. And I had been praying, had been prophesied over me by two different people or whatever that I was going to have another boy. Well, lo and behold, you fast forward 15 years later, without anything to not have any kids or whatever, I'm not getting pregnant. So you know there's something wrong, right? It's just not happening. Well, the way Travis got here was Sandy came and told me the word of the Lord. So the Lord said to come tell you within 3 months you're going to be pregnant. Now listen to what he said. Listen to what God says as much as what he does not say. Because sometimes when he doesn't say nothing, that's your answer. But anyway, she comes to me and she tells me, God said to tell you that he's going to give you a baby. And you'll find out within 3 months you're going to be pregnant. Well, sure enough, 3 months later I found out I was 2.5 months pregnant. Well, lo and behold, you fast forward to 15 years later or whatever. And I can see it right now. Rod Parsley's playing on the TV, and I'm sitting at the kitchen table eating ramen noodles, or however you say them, ramen, whatever. Y'all know the little noodles in the pack. I'm sitting there at the table, and I'm eating them. All of a sudden, I hear the Spirit of God, and he says, ask me for a baby. And I thought, I mean, it's almost audible. It's so loud. And I thought, what? And I hear, ask me for a baby. And I started laughing. I thought, I've been asking you for nearly 15 years. But by this time, I've quit. How many knows? I'm older, and that's just really not a big thing to me anymore. I'm kind of looking forward to the finish line. Travis is getting out. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's 16 years old. I'm kind of looking for my good days or whatever. But anyway, because he said it, so I started laughing, and I asked him. I said, okay, God, I just asked you for a baby. 3 months later, I find out I'm 2 months pregnant. Now, you can say what you want to about that, but this hasn't happened for 15 years. Now, most of y'all know the story or whatever. I started having problems or whatever. I went into labor at 23 weeks, and he was born due to something about incompetent cervix or whatever. Now, some would say, you know, well, evidently God didn't say it because it didn't happen. Yes, it did happen. Exactly what he said happened. He sees Sandy came and said, God said, I'm going to give you a baby. Do you hear what I said? God's going to give it. He came to me and he said, ask me for one. When he comes to you and says, ask him for something, that means you ask, he's going to give it, but now it's going to be up to you whether you receive it or not. Well, I had faith because of what he said to receive, to get pregnant or whatever, but whenever all this stuff started going on, I started looking to the doctors. I started to look at how my body felt. I started looking to the symptoms I was going through. I mean, I've got to have bed rest. I can't even go to the bathroom and all this stuff, and the doctors would come in there and I'd say, can you help him now or whatever, you know. Well, that tells you I'm not looking to the Lord. I'm not trusting in the Lord. I'm trusting in the doctor now. You understand what I'm telling you? See, he said it, so therefore I believed it and I did it, just like my brother. I was praying one day, this has been a few years ago now. I don't know, he may have been in jail something like 7 years, almost 7 years at the time. But anyway, I was praying one day and I'm fixing to ask something for the church, for all of us. It's what I'm thinking I'm fixing to pray and ask for, whatever. And all of a sudden, I hear the Lord, he says, ask me for your brother to come home early. And when he did, I got excited. And I thought, Lord, I need some scripture for that. He said, John 15:7. You know what John 15:7 says? He says, if you abide in me and my word, this is amplified, if you abide in me and my words remain. Remember Mark 4? That word has to go through all different kinds of ground if you're going to get 30, 60, and 100-fold harvest. And if you don't let that word remain, if the devil can get it out, or if you'll quit, or if you'll give it up, you will not receive, even though God said ask. See, there's times that God, he can't do anything he wants to. I mean, you'll hear people say, God's in control of everything. Well, if he is, he's got this world in a doggone mess. Why? Because he's not. If he was, people wouldn't be, babies wouldn't be aborted. Prisons wouldn't be full, all of that stuff. But anyway, he come and he told me, he said, ask me for your brother to come home early. So I did. He gave me John 15:7, and Scotty's told y'all, if he's heard it once, he's heard it a million times. Now the Bible says that we would have peace and joy in all our believing, right, Johnny? I look for the peace and the joy. The Bible says another scripture, we'll be led forth by peace. If you don't have the peace of God or about something, it's either a no or you ain't prayed about it enough to find out. If you're confused about something, God's not the author of confusion, right? The Bible says the devil is. That means he's involved in it. It's not God. Just because listen, the more you want something, the more you're going to have to put that thing out here and be like, God, whatever you say. The Bible talks about that he gives us the desires of our heart. Well, let me finish the story about my brother first. Anyway, God tells me to pray that, gives me John 15:7. And at that time, we was on, y'all remember that, 7-8 months, about Mark 4, Luke 8, and all of that, about the ground and all of that. Well, I knew I got to hang on to this word till I get through all of this ground to my harvest. Well, I don't remember how long that it took. I don't think it was too long. But anyway, just out of the blue, and y'all remember I brought the papers here. My brother calls and tells me, this lawyer contacted him. Now, the lawyer that he had said when he was sentenced, said he got 19 years. Said he'll be out in 5, get his GED, go through these programs, yada, yada, COVID hit. Anyway, that's not what happened. So mama started emailing the lawyer, would not contact back, would not answer back. No lawyer, no nothing. But anyway, after I asked what the Lord said, why? Because God wanted to do it and he needed me to ask. See, it's not just always God asking us what we want. There's times God needs us to ask him why. There's things he wants to do in the earth, and because he's not in control of everything, he needs us to ask and receive and believe till we get the harvest. Well, lo and behold, a lawyer just out of the blue sends him a letter and tells him some laws has changed, and he will petition the judge for him if he wants him to. Don't even know who the lawyer is, just out of the blue. Done been there 7 years and ain't heard nothing from no lawyer. But anyway, and so he fills it out or whatever, and he tells the lawyer, yeah, you know, everything. Well, he sent the papers to me, you know, and we prayed for him and everything. Well, he gets a letter back and says, okay, the judge agreed and knocked off 17 months off of his sentence. Now, let me tell you this part, because I got messed up. I did not even recognize, Sandy, when God did that. Because I had in my thinking, be real careful when God tells you something about getting in your own thinking. I got into my own thinking that because God told me to ask for my brother to come home, God's going to do something and he's going to come home. My brother's still not home. Do you understand what I'm telling you? My thinking was God's going to let him go early. So what that, God said ask for him to come home early. So what God means by that is he's coming home now. That's not what he said. So I got messed up in my thinking of that's how God was going to do. You can't work out how God's going to do it, and you don't know how he's going to do it unless he tells you. Well, because I wasn't paying attention or whatever the case might be, and I got into that, I started to try to force that thing. And what happened was I started telling God, it's time, God, now. You don't tell God now. And I started trying to force that thing in prayer and using scripture and different things like that or whatever because it wasn't happening the way I thought it was going to happen. But it did happen. 17 months is early. That's nearly 2 years. I mean, I think I would be licking the toilet, whatever, in Thanksgiving if I needed to, right? But anyway, but because I got messed up about that and I started trying to force this thing with prayer and with scriptures, how many knows you can take a scripture and make it any say anything you want to? Anyway, and I'm doing this, and this thing is getting heavy. This thing is getting hard to me. This thing is getting to be a burden to me. Well, lo and behold, God sends Ron Day one day, time before last that he was here. And he calls me out, and he begins to pray for me, and he said, I see you, he said, and I see an anvil. Y'all ever see Roadrunner? The big anvils out there that he drops on his head and all that stuff in the cartoon? He said, I see this big anvil. He said, and you are doing everything you can do. He said, you're going around it. He said, and you are trying to pick this anvil up and move it. He said, but God said to tell you that you can't. And when he said that, I knew exactly that he was talking about my brother. And I could instantly see what had happened to me. God, you did exactly what you said that you was going to do. Even though it wasn't the way I thought you was going to do it, thank you, Lord, that you did it. And when I released that, the joy of the Lord returned. Why am I having to? Because we're talking about our relationship with him and being led by him. Everything is not in written scripture. I mean, far as I know, my anvil that I'm trying to carry and getting off on my own thinking and a tangent is not in necessarily written scripture. But how many knows? It's whatever he tells you. And you can't go beyond what he tells you. Why? You're not the one that can make things happen. So therefore, you can't go beyond whatever it is that he tells you. Amen? So, let's see here. I got a lot of stuff wrote down here. I'm trying to figure out where I want to go right now. Let's look at John 8. Say what Jesus did here. Now, in John 5, 19 through 20, and John 12, 49 through 50 is where Jesus talked about he didn't do anything lest he seen the Father do it. He didn't say anything lest he heard the Father say it, right? So he was led at all times. He never got out of the love of God. Amen. He never got out of the faith of God. He only did what God instructed him to do, what God told him to do, and it was by the Holy Spirit. But here in John chapter 8, let's see, how do I got that? Oh, I don't. That's that one you was asking me about. Well, I don't know. We'll just read it amplified. It says, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives early in the morning at dawn. He came back into the temple court, and the people came to him in crowds. He sat down and was teaching them. When the scribes and Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, they made her stand in the middle of the court and put this case before him. Teacher, they said, this woman has been caught in the very act of adultery. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such women offenders shall be stoned to death. But what do you say to do with her? What is your sentence? Now they're trying to catch him in a trap. Right? We talked about over there, Ephesians 6. It's the sword that the Spirit wields, right? I mean, his ministry is hanging on this. The devil can't get nothing on him, right? He's got to answer this correctly. So the Bible says, this they said to try or test him, hoping they might find a charge on which to accuse him. Notice this, but Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger. Can you imagine this, Samantha? You're talking to me, asking me a question, and I just ignore you, and I turn my back to you, and I start writing on the ground. You're going to think I'm kind of dumb, ain't you? Did you hear what I said? It don't matter what people think about you. I believe he was listening. I don't think he had heard anything yet. He knows they're trying to trap him and test him all the time, right? And I don't believe he's heard anything yet. That's why he's doing this. I've heard people say, well, he was writing their sins. Well, where'd you get that from? The Bible doesn't say anything about that. Some of the more of that thinking. But it does say he didn't do anything without hearing or seeing. In verse 7, it says, however, when they persisted, so they kept on with him, with their question, he raised himself up and said, let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. I'm telling you, he had to have got that from the Holy Ghost. Only the Holy Ghost could have given you that one. It says, then he bent down and went on writing on the ground with his finger. I guess he didn't hear nothing else, so he turned back around and started doing that. I don't know. It says, they listened to him, and then they began going out, conscience-stricken, one by one, from the oldest down to the last one of them, till Jesus was left alone with a woman standing there before him in the center of the court. And we know the story, how Jesus told her, go and sin no more, right? Said, neither do I condemn you. Why did I read that? Because there's times he tells us to do the same thing to us. Or we've got a couple days planned or whatever to get out of here for a little. I don't care if I get up there and I'm unloading that truck, my suitcases, and the Holy Ghost says, go home. Guess where I'll be? On the road home. Why? Because he knows everything. And I endeavor to be led of him. And listen, some people think it's crazy that I say, you know, I try to be led on what we wear to church or whatever. If you'll start in just things like the everyday things, I look to him every day, all day long. People don't even know how much that I need him. I mean, especially when my head was so... I'm telling you, I couldn't put two sentences together. Some of y'all know. At different times, I couldn't remember things. I still have a little bit of trouble with that or whatever. So I'm like, all day long, I'll be like, Holy Spirit, don't let me forget this. Holy Spirit, remind me of this. Help me to... All day long, I'm talking to him, and I'm looking to him. Why? The Bible says he's my counselor. He's my helper. He's my standby. Strong says he's my paraclete, right? The one comes alongside to help. I even found out, I did not know it. When that word says counselor in the Amplified, I thought, yeah, he'll counsel me, you know, instruct me. I did not know he's also your therapist. And Scotty says, thank you, Lord. And all of y'all says, thank you, Lord, right? See, I knew I needed something, but I didn't know what I needed. I mean, I told Scotty, I said, go to therapy with me, whatever. He's like, I don't need a therapist, Trace. Now, y'all, man. Anyway, you know, I knew something was wrong with me, and I would pray, and I would seek the Lord, and I'm not getting an answer, and I would cry, and different things. I mean, because, I'm just a wreck. And I don't have anybody in the natural that I can talk to. I can't talk very deep to my mama. Why? He's her pastor. And love covers, right? So, and I don't have a pastor's wife that I could talk to. Brother Brad's wife. I mean, he's on his third one, you know, they leave him, whatever the case might be, you know. And one time I went to talk to one of them, and she said, I don't know, you'll have to talk to Bradley. He's the spiritual one. And I thought right then, I thought, I'll never ask you anything else, ever. But I found out he can be your therapist. He will be your therapist. I mean, when he started working on me, I could see in here, like, almost like with natural eyes, but in here, like he's peeling me like an onion, layer after layer. See, I don't know why you act the way you act. I don't know why you do the way you do. I don't know why you think like you think, but he does. And he knows exactly how to get to the root of the matter, and he is the only one. But how many knows? We got to look to him. We got to yield to him. All day long be looking at him. Why? You know, I've heard people say, well, you know, the Bible talks about Jesus, you know, and they get this thing about, you know, it's kind of like the Holy Spirit or Jesus, you know, they're going to get in competition or jealous of each other. No, they're not. Absolutely not. Jesus said he would send the Comforter, right? He told the apostles, he said, I'm going to go away. He said, but I won't leave you orphans. I won't leave you comfortless. He said, I'll send you the Holy Ghost. He said, that'll be your Comforter. He's our teacher. He's our guide, right? Not sickness and disease or anything, but the Holy Spirit, he's our teacher. You understand, he's the one inspired the written word. He knows more about the word than anybody else. And he knows how to rightly divide it. He knows the sword that we need to use at the time that we need to use it. There's nothing he don't know. And he knows the plan of God, and he knows everything in mind, in your heart and mind. And knows how to get us to where God wants to take us. So we need to develop a relationship with him. Now, April's my BF, she thinks. And I tell her that she is or whatever, and y'all. But Holy Spirit, he's my BFFFF. I'm telling you. Hey, because she can't be in my house at 2 o'clock in the morning when I need something. But he is. He's with me. He's in me at all times to strengthen me, right? To strengthen you, to help you, to talk to you, to counsel you, to be your therapist. I mean, I heard something about somebody the other day, you know, and people's like, pray for them. And they don't know what we need to pray for them, because they're a mess. So I just started praying for them. I said, Holy Spirit, be their therapist. I know now that you can be. And I know you're the only one knows what's wrong on the inside of them, but you know how to fix it. So we see here where Jesus, he was led to do what he had done. Now, Acts 23, I got about 5 minutes, so I have to make this quick. Let me quote this right quick. Now over there in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, y'all remember the story where Peter and John, they told him, don't preach anymore in that name and all that, when they was preaching in the name of Jesus and everything, and whipped them or whatever and told them, don't do this no more. And they told them, you know, that's not up to you or whatever. We have to. I'm paraphrasing. But the Bible says that they recognized them as ignorant and unlearned men. Ain't been to no Bible school. See, you can get to thinking the more scripture you know, or the more scripture you can quote, or the better theological that you are. Listen, your theological junk goes right out the window when it compares to the Holy Spirit. He is the theologist or whatever. But it said they recognize them as ignorant and unlearned men. You don't even have to know a lot about the Bible. Just know him. And they went on and said, but they took notice, or they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Why is that? They're acting just like him. They're talking just like him. They're doing just like him, right? They got thrown in there because of the guy at the gate. Beautiful, got healed, ain't it? Is why they got beat in the first place and told, don't preach anymore in that name. So it's, how much do you know him? You want the anointing to increase on your life? Hang out with him. Get a closer relationship with him. See, and it's not just, yes, I need to listen to preaching. I need to feed my spirit. But that does not take the place of my relationship with him. Absolutely not. That's just kind of like a vitamin being added to me or something, so to speak. In other words, or going to church. Not my going to church, not my reading the Bible, not my listening to preaching. Anything takes the place of my relationship with him. And if you want the anointing to increase on your life, hang out with him more. Look to him more. Listen to him more. Obey him more. Amen? So here in Acts 23, I need to get over there. Y'all probably done there. I'm going to start reading in, I think it's verse 10. Yeah. It says, and when the strife became more and more tense and violent, the commandant, fearing that Paul, now this is when he was in jail, that Paul would be torn in pieces by them, ordered the troops to go down and take him forcibly from among them and conduct him back into the barracks. And that same following night, the Lord stood beside Paul and said, take courage, Paul, for as you have borne faithful witness concerning me at Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome. This word carried Paul through everything that he went through. Then you get over there. This is why Paul had faith that he would make it, right? You get what I'm saying? It wasn't just because he quoted some scripture or something that Jesus had said before. He trusted that the Lord stood beside him and told him, just as you bore witness here, Paul, you're going to make it to Rome and you're going to bear witness of me there. There's different times I have prophecies that God has spoken over us, and there's times that I get those out. And I listen to him while I'm stirring up my faith. I'm stirring up what God has said over us. You need to do the same thing at different times. Now, here in Acts 27, since we're here in Acts. Now, Paul had told them, this is when they're in the ship. Paul had told them whenever they was fixing to set sail, and they should have listened to him, the Bible said, or he told them, that they're fixing to set sail. And he tells them, he said, don't go now. It's not good. Don't go now. But how many knows the Bible says they didn't listen to him and they got on their ship and they sailed on. Well, then here comes these storms. And we're going to pick it up here in verse 13. Well, no, I don't want 13 because we're fixing to run out of time. But anyway, you can go read it for yourself. You get over to verse 21 in the Amplified. It says, then as they had eaten nothing, they've been fasting and stuff for a long time. It says, Paul came forward into their midst and said, men, you should have listened to me and should not have put to sea from Crete and brought on this disaster and harm and misery and loss. But even now I beg you to be in good spirits and take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night there stood by my side an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve and worship. And he said, do not be frightened, Paul. It is necessary for you to stand before Caesar. And behold, God has given you all those who are sailing with you. He said, so keep up your courage, men, for I have faith. Why has he got faith? He got a rhema word from the Lord, right, from the angel of the Lord. It says, complete confidence in God that it will be exactly as it was told to me. He says, but we shall have to be stranded on an island. Now, why has he got faith? Not just because of written Logos word. He's got faith because an angel of the Lord came and told him the word of the Lord. And he even told him, he said, not only you, Paul. He said, but I'm going to give you every life that's on this ship with you. They just got to stay with the ship, right? So that word, and Paul telling them that, saved Paul and everybody on that ship. There's some times that you, being led by the Spirit and hearing the word of the Lord, may save you and your entire family, may save you and everybody with you or around you. Well, then you go on with that, and y'all know the story, how he's out there, they got shipwrecked on an island, just like he told them. I think it was Miletus or whatever, but anyway, he's out there picking up sticks to go on the fire, and y'all remember the story, right? He gets snake bit. Just because the word of the Lord comes to you don't mean it's going to be just roses. But it will be exactly of what he has said. Well, he goes on and he shakes it off. Why do you think he can just shake it off? Because he's some big great apostle? No, he knows he can't die. Don't matter if he gets shipwrecked, snake bit, no matter what happens to him, he can't die. Why? Because God has done told him, you're going to bear witness of me at Rome. It's the same thing for me and you. Whatever he says, just do it. Whatever he tells you, just believe it. Amen. I got to stop because time is up. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share or comments or anything before we close? All right, we'll recess till 11.